I want to take a break from the podcast right now, and I want to give you a gift. And I want to do that to thank you for being a listener. I put my heart and soul into this podcast. I love interviewing today's experts, researchers, MDs, psychologists, sleep trainers, you name it. I hope you feel inspired to take care of yourselves and your families. And I just want to thank you for being a listener and hanging out with me. So the code PODCAST10 is going to give you a one-time $10 off code at kellylevesque.com, your next order of protein powder. You can either use that on my grass-fed beef isolate protein or on my new vegan chocho bean protein. Now, here's what I love about my protein powders. It's 3 ingredients or less. So we don't use fillers, emulsifiers, no fortified vitamins or minerals. It's easy to digest and naturally made without any enzymes or chemicals like hexane. So it's 3 ingredients. With my grass-fed beef isolate, that's 100% grass-fed beef, and it's made in the way that you would make bone broth. So just heat and water. And we dehydrate that end product to get that collagen-rich protein powder that your whole family can drink. It can be added to coffees, to smoothies, and you can get it in vanilla, chocolate, and unflavored. I want to point out that my vanilla and chocolate is made with organic vanilla bean, organic cacao, and the only sweetener used is organic monk fruit. We don't use any maltodextrin. Our monk fruit is 100% ground monk fruit, and it's organic. And with my vegan line, I'm so excited to have launched this and to have it out into the world. It's a regenerative bean from South America called the chocho bean. And the chocho bean is the most superior plant-based protein powder you can get your hands on, because not only is it a complete protein, but the process is made with heat and water only. They're crushed and soaked, and what that end product results in is an anti-nutrient-free protein powder. So you're not gonna have any lectins, phytates, or oxalates in your protein powder. Makes it super easy to digest, and it's really, really delicious and robust in cooking as well. So I love it if I want a thicker smoothie or a smoothie bowl. And I also love it in my baked goods, from my cookies to my muffins, pancakes, and breads. It's the perfect protein addition. So if you want to give either of these proteins a try, or you've already been purchasing these proteins and want to take advantage of this special deal, the code PODCAST10 is going to get you $10 off for being a listener here at the Be Well by Kelly podcast. So head to kellylevesque.com or bewellbykelly.com. Put the protein you'd like to purchase in your cart and use the code PODCAST10 for $10 off. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. Hey friends, welcome back to the Be Well by Kelly podcast. Today I have my friend Sandra Graham. She is a money and lifestyle expert who's been featured on Oprah, The Today Show, CNN, and so much more. She's an author, a keynote speaker, a brand spokesperson, but most importantly, she runs this really awesome mentoring company called Smart Cookies Money Mentoring Inc., where she is online with hundreds of women looking for financial wellness, which is something we don't talk about in the wellness space very often.
Oh my gosh, that intro was so amazing. Thank you so much, Kelly. Yeah, so financial wellness to me is really being in sort of in love with your money as part of your life. And that wasn't always the case for me. And I'm really honest about my journey being, you know, going from what was essentially a financial disaster and coming out on the other side and doing that with the help of my girlfriends. And that's what we did, because as you say, we don't talk about money in the wellness space. We don't talk about money enough in general, especially as friends. And so that was a really big piece. It was this feeling like everyone else knew something that I didn't when it came to reaching financial goals. And so in doing that for myself and in doing that for each other, as we supported one another when we first started what we called our money club several years ago, and where that has gone today has been awesome. So what I wake up so excited to do in the morning is to talk to other women and empower them to not only, you know, think bigger when it comes to money, but make more intentional actions when it comes to money and make that part of just being their best selves and really showing up as being, you know, true to you and true to what's really important to you in your world.
Awesome.
So for those of you guys that you probably, I don't know if you follow Sandra's work, but Sandra and I are friends. We met on my sister-in-law Marisa's bachelorette many moons ago. And I remember hearing that you had been on Oprah. I was like, that's crazy. Can you tell me about the beginning of starting your business and what kind of like financial slums you were in and how you pulled yourself out of it and started this business?
For sure. So that journey started, I was living in Vancouver at the time and had a really great job coming out of college. I was working in PR for one of the best companies in Canada. And I remember sitting down at my computer and Googling, I wanted to buy a house and I had saved up money and I was doing all the things. And I remember Googling, you know, how do I buy a house or smart money advice for women? And everything that popped up was just, I felt like it wasn't speaking to me. It wasn't what I really wanted. And so I went to, actually that weekend, I was hanging out with one of my friends, Ange, and we started talking about money. And she said, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we got together and educated ourselves and helped each other? And I was like, yeah, that's a cool idea. And then I went to work the next day and one of my colleagues, Andrea, had seen an episode of Oprah, and at this time she was doing her debt diet series. So she was profiling different families across the US who had racked up a ton of debt, and she had different financial experts on the show and took them on a journey the whole year long. And so Andrea had seen this episode and she came to work. And the funny thing is that Andrea is like the epitome of put together, like never a hair out of place, you know, had the gorgeous apartment. I remember when she came up to me and said, you know, I saw this episode of Oprah and I have a little bit of debt I'm dealing with. And in my mind, I was like, what? Like you have debt? Like you are the last person I would expect to have debt. And she said, yeah, I think it would be cool to follow the debt diet series that Oprah was doing. She had a bunch of tools on her website. Long story short, we ended up meeting, there was five of us all together. And we started meeting every week. And late that very first meeting, we brought all of our bank statements, our credit card statements. And that was really scary, but it was also that was the moment that started everything. Because once we got really real about that, then the shame was gone. The, oh my gosh, what am I doing is wrong. It was like, okay, we're going to put a game plan together. And it was, you know, when you have those friends who just see the best in you, it was that type of feeling. And so over the course of a year, we were able to pay off thousands of dollars of debt, increase our earnings substantially by more than $100,000 as a group, put money in our savings account. And Katie, one of my colleagues at the time, saw that Oprah was doing a call out for debt diet success stories. And so she shot off an email, not even thinking anything of it. And it landed in the right producer's email inbox. And they featured us on their show as a debt diet success story because of what we had done. And also I think the big piece of it was the financial piece, but also so many amazing things in our lives had shifted because of our friendships. You know, we were in better relationships with partners. We were, you know, still working our corporate jobs, but also starting businesses on our own as well. And so a lot of things had shifted, and it wasn't just because of the money was a piece of it, but it wasn't the whole picture, which is what Smart Cookies is all about.
I love it. So what were the first steps that you guys took? I know, you know, being an entrepreneur, sometimes people say you can't make money without spending money and you need to invest in yourself and reinvest in your business. And a lot of times saving for your family, buying a house, contributing to a 401k or a Roth IRA are all things where I'm like, I really want to do that. What are your tips for people out there who are wanting to invest in themselves, wanting to invest in their business and also be responsible with their money? What are sort of like non-negotiable things that people should be doing, like tax advantage wise, to support themselves in their future?
Totally. Okay. So we were so scrappy, and I am still so scrappy in business. And I feel like that's a great thing, is to be resourceful. And while it is great to make investments in your business and to grow, we're in such a cool time in terms of being able to be really lean with your business while also supporting your family. Like you don't need to go off the deep end and like quit your corporate job and, you know, gone are the days where you need hundreds of thousands of dollars of financing to even get started. So the key and what we did with Smart Cookies in our original meeting, and I still use it today in my personal finance and when I work with clients who have their own businesses too, is really look at what you want your life to look at and dive deep into that. So we have an exercise that we go through that's called a day well lived, that's similar to like a perfect day exercise. And it's really painting out that picture of what you want your life to look like and then working backwards from that to figure out, okay, what do you need to be making in your business and your life? So you know that number, right? Like understanding what your expenses are to live. And that's a really key number that a lot of people get a little bit scared about understanding. And the key to understanding that number is it's not only the expenses that happen every month. Like it's really easy to think, okay, my rent or my mortgage is this, and then I have this insurance payment and that's great. But there's also those expenses that come up that are inconsistent. And so throughout the year, but you know they're going to happen. Like maybe it's a car insurance payment that only happens every quarter, or you invest in some sort of coaching and you know that expense is going to come up. But understanding what that is for the year and having that money set aside in a separate account so that you can plan for that every single month is really important. And planning your business and what you need to do in terms of getting clients and pricing strategically so that you know you have enough money coming in if you're able to hit X, Y, and Z, certain targets, so that you can continue to live your life and continue to build your business and work towards your dreams. And honestly, like investing in a 401k and investing is so important. And you can start doing that and building that habit with, you don't need to have thousands of dollars a month, you know, even starting with $200 or $500 and just having that automatically taken off while you're building everything is great. And then you've built that habit. And then when you get to a different milestone, then you can increase that substantially. But starting off is, and it's never too late. You can start with any amount. You can start at any age. And to get into that habit is super important. Just have all those pieces in place and not feel like, oh my gosh, so I can't invest $2,000 in a 401k right now. So I guess I just won't do it at all. And the key is just to start somewhere and to feel empowered in that.
Oh, I love that. So can we do this exercise? Can I tell you what the perfect day is for me?
And yes.
Our way backwards?
Yes.
Okay. So in my perfect world, I wake up, I make a coffee here. I have no problem never buying a coffee or getting a latte or a nice coffee out. That's not, I can happily make my own little fancy coffee in my blender if I really wanted it to be frothy.
Yeah.
Then I would work out. I would probably do yoga. In my perfect world, it would be at a studio. That would be non-negotiable. Yeah. Obviously, my children I need to birth more children and they need to grow up enough to where I can go after I drop them off at school. Yeah. Or something of that nature, because it's not necessarily happening as often as I want in the morning, but that would be my perfect world. Mm-hmm. I'd come home, I'd make myself a smoothie or like a Fab Four breakfast. I'd do it writing. Like I'd write and I'd work from home. I don't need an office. I have no problem like getting my work done as long as I have space in my own place and working with people virtually, which is what I've been doing. And that's totally fine for me. So low overhead there.
For sure.
And then I would have time with my kids in the afternoon, like in that time where my brain isn't necessarily the most sharp for like writing and maybe articulating what I want to articulate for my business and the science and math of that I'm obsessed with.
Yes.
And we would do like fun play, park activities, out, sports, whatever it is. We'd come home, they'd do homework, I'd make dinner, and then I'd like go to bed early. I'm really simple. I watch the TV shows that Chris gets obsessed with. I don't feel like I need every subscription service to Hulu and Netflix and cable. I'd happily go without cable. He can't bear to do that because of certain sports that he watches on TV.
I'm the same spot.
And then I would say, you know, I have made the investment in an infrared sauna for myself here. It wasn't that big of an investment. It was definitely like an investment, but so I have one of those. I love my bath. Like Mm-hmm. I don't have to have like a lot of crazy self-care. Like I feel like once a month getting a massage, I'd rather do that than ever get my nails done ever again.
Yes.
Yeah, but I would say that and maybe like a facial. So I'd rather do those two things over doing my nails. I could, like I said, could give myself my own mani and pedi forever.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's not necessarily like the ethos of my ethos is really leaning into like clean beauty. And, you know, obviously like it's harder to find a clean nail salon. Mm-hmm. And obviously if I'm planning to be pregnant for the next 10 years, that makes sense too. So that's kind of how I think about it. And when I think about non-negotiables, it's clean food, which is becoming so much more affordable through like programs that I buy, yep. Like meat delivery programs, farmers market, frozen produce, and brands like Thrive. Like I feel like I've done a good job of lowering the cost of that for my family. Yeah. I don't wear a lot of makeup. The self-care products I use are pretty hippie and low budget, which people would maybe be surprised about, but like that's just how it is. I buy a lot of things in bulk. Like I have coconut oil. I have vats of coconut oil for like diapering to whatever, cleaning, you know?
I love it.
We have one car payment. And we share one lease. We have one. We always have like a family car that we end up driving. But I have a lot of insurance for my business.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it. So I am in a place where I would like to buy a house. I would like to, I opened a 529, which is like Bash's college fund, account.
Yep.
I obviously can't max that out. I think I can. You can put like $100,000+ in there. You know, I put a couple grand in it. I'm like, got to start somewhere.
You got to start. Yeah. It's amazing. And then there's tax advantages for that too, right? So that's perfect.
Yeah. So looking at my day and who I am and what my priorities are, what advice would you have for me or for someone else in my shoes?
I mean, Kelly, you're amazing. I feel like you're the ultimate smart cookie, truly. But here's what's amazing about what you said. First of all, you're super, and you said it without, I don't even think you realized you said it, but in Smart Cookies, we have something called the rather factor. And you literally just said like, I would rather, you know, spend my money on a facial than go get my nails done. So it's about staying committed to those choices, but also looking a little further ahead, right? So when you look at, and I love that you, I mean, when you talk about your perfect day, it's so you, and that will never change as you continue to be successful and as you continue to build wealth, which is happening 100% for sure. Like those core pieces of your perfect day are not going to change. So for you, it's going to be just upping those financial goals to stay in line with that. So, you know, as, and we talked about this, a little while ago too, but this idea of, you know, when you are trying to save and whether you're a business or you don't have a business and you come up from a mentality of, oh, whatever's left over, I'll save a little bit. Right. And then, so you do, you save like $1,000 here and there. But it's not the huge amounts of money that you need to do things like to invest in a home or have a big investment in your business or whatever that may be. So saving as much as you can automatically. So there's two sort of schools of thought on this. And it's sort of the profit first mentality, which is, you know, paying yourself first and paying your business first. People are always like, how is your business so profitable? How are these businesses so profitable? And it's because, they're taking, when the money comes in, you automatically take that money away and put it into a savings account or a profit account or an account that you are not using for your expenses. And so, but continuing to grow that as you grow, right? So for now, if you're starting it, okay, I can save like 10% of what's coming in for my business. Awesome. Have that taken off the top. But as you grow and keeping your expenses the same and keeping those lean as much as possible so that you can then put more into that savings account and fund those goals right off the top. I mean, that's how, when you look at really, you know, wealthy and thriving, and it's not just about money, but you know, when you see those people who are like, what? Like they're so happy and their families are happy. And, you know, they just, it's like a whole abundant lifestyle that they're living. And it's that mentality of spending money on things that are truly important to them and having that focus. And also at the same time, the first thing that they're doing is funding those goals. Because that money, if you don't have it going automatically towards your goals, is going to get spent. It's like time, right? It's like if you have all the time in the world, you're going to spend it doing whatever. But if you're strategic with it and you know what you need to do to make your day productive, you're going to do it. It's the same thing with your money. You've got to put it where your heart is and where that's important to you, and let those habits grow.
Okay. So obviously in my perfect world, in my perfect day, I'm spending the majority of my money on taking care of myself, taking care of my body, and like making sure that I have really clean food. What about, I mean, like retirement and those kinds of things? Like if someone first comes to you, what are those accounts or what, you know, like yearly buckets that you're looking for them to fill, even if they're just filling it with a couple $100s?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What are the accounts that we all need to be opening and contributing to?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So having a long-term investing account, whether that's your 401k or your Roth IRA, and putting as much into that as you can, because that's a huge tax advantage. But the question I always get is, what happens if I have a ton of debt at a really high interest rate? So you definitely want to take care of that debt first, because that is just going to stop you from moving forward. So if that is part of life right now, for anyone listening, take care of that first. And we have a ton of tools on smartcookies.com to help you do that and get really clear on that. But at the same time, just be putting a little bit of money into the long-term investing account. So your Roth and your 401k. And there's really cool calculators that you can find online. You can just Google, compound interest, Roth IRA. And it'll show you, you know, if you put $50, $100 into that account, what it will build to over time. So looking at those like compound interest calculators, I blow my mind every time I use them, because you can see the power of what those little contributions are going to do over time. So setting up that bucket is super important.
Got it.
And just setting it up is a huge win also.
I honestly, I've done a good job saving just into a savings account. But since I started my business and took my business full time, I hadn't set up, Be Well by Kelly just became an S Corp for tax reasons. Yeah. And I just set up our company's 401k yesterday. And they're like, what do you want to contribute? And you need to contribute by the end of March.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, you know, it's just as an entrepreneur and turning and spinning that money into other little brands, into my brand, into, you know, keeping it liquid for a house. But I was just like, what am I doing? I'm missing out on all of these tax advantages. And can you explain what a tax advantage is for people out there who want to contribute to a Roth IRA or a 401k? Yeah. What is that doing?
For sure. So it's for example, your income that you're taxed on in your business, if you contribute some of that to the account that you just opened, then that is taken off what you can be taxed on. So that's really important to understand. So that's going to help you come tax time. If you owe money, you are going to owe less money. You're going to want to look into that, but do a quick Google search and you'll be able to see depending on if your business is an S Corp or it's an LLC, or if you don't have a business, then you're just going to want to know what exactly that looks like at tax time. But you can find that easily and understand what that is. But truly over time, that is going to, and that money is going to be earning interest and it's going to be helping you with your longer term goals. So that's one of those things that it's a win-win, and it's a hard thing to do as a business owner. Cause like you said, Kelly, it's like, okay, I could invest that in other ways or we're looking to buy a house, which is great. And also, you know, having that money that you're saving in a savings account right now is great, because, you know, you're going to have that cash so that you can, I know that's a short-term goal for you, is to be able to buy a house, which is great. So you can do both. So you don't need to like max it out right now. But contributing as much as you can, knowing your timeline. And I know you personally are excited, and you and Chris are looking at buying a house. So that's going to be something you're going to want to have the cash for that. So that's important. But once you have that, and once you're in the home, you've got your mortgage payment, and you're kind of like situated in that, then you can relook at that investment account and be like, okay, what can I seriously do to increase this and max that out? And I know you, and I know you're going to get really excited about that, to be like, okay, how can I grow that long term? And you're going to max that puppy out as soon as you can, but you don't have to do it right now. You can have that grow over time.
Honestly, I am so excited about just understanding more about my financial wellness and understanding all of the different places I can start saving, whether that's a Roth IRA or a 401k. And I know when we got together, when I was on my book tour and I was up in Denver where you live, we were chatting a little bit about my business. I don't think a lot of people know this, but at one point I was a 1099 employee, which means you get all your cash and you're not, you know, you're responsible for all your taxes after the fact, which means you need to be saving for that. And I was young. Yeah, exactly. I was working as a consultant. It was in cancer and genetics. And I didn't save appropriately at all. And I had to call my dad in tears and be like, Dad, I need a dad loan. I owe the government $16,000. This is so scary. Yeah. I remember being like completely freaked out by it. And that really, you know, at 36 years old, running my own business and being the same sort of employee to my own corporation where the taxes aren't being taken out for me. I'm not W-2'd and it's not saving right away. It's like, I have to think about the whole business, how much the business is making and how much I need to save. So we talked about this. I opened a business checking account and I opened a business savings account. And anytime a check hit my checking account, I would take 75% of that and put it into savings. And
honestly,
I think it's because I really was burned, and took me like almost a year and a half at my last job to have to pay my dad back, just because I was way tighter on what I could afford, and I didn't have the flexibility. But what's interesting is people are like, well, I never could put 75% of that away. And I'm like, well, for me as a business owner, 50% of that, I always bank on 50% going to the government, right? And then trying to save 25% of that is really important to me. So learning to live off the 25%, and there are multiple months where I'm like, shoot, I got to borrow from my own savings account. But just the process, like the physical and mental process of transferring that money and being like, that's not yours. Because I think so many times we're given money. And like you said, if we have it, we spend it. Like I could easily get in the habit of being like, oh, I really want to wear a new top on my tour. I really want to get my like hair and makeup done every time. Or, you know, and maybe that's really important to other people. But I look at that and I'm like, how can I be scrappy? How can I save? And it's so interesting because when I used to work for other corporations and you're given an expense account to like take people out to dinner and pay for expenses, people spend other companies' money so frivolously. As the business owner, I'm like, oh, I don't mail things from UPS. I use US Postal Service. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know? And I think like really going through the points in which I spend my money in, I use Xero, some people use QuickBooks, but just understanding like, how and where is the money going out, and how can I start to pull back on that? And it's like happens to Chris and I every 6 months, every 3 or 4 months, where we're like, whoa, we just went through a period of spending and now we really want to like reassess and pull back. What advice do you have for people? Is it obviously when they're in your club, they're talking about money all the time. Like how often should we be like reviewing our bank statements, thinking about what we're spending? And like, I know you hate the word budgeting, but like, tell me, how do we empower people to take control of their financial health? Because I'm telling you, for me personally, when I got into it, I was like, oh, this feels really good. It's not as scary as I thought it was.
Oh my gosh. It's such and I am the last person in the world that I like would ever say this out loud. My parents are like, what are you talking about when I say this? But I love, love, love digging into the numbers. And it becomes a process that, yes, like the process can make you want to break out in hives. But once you do it, it becomes something that you will look forward to. So here is how we do it in Smart Cookies and in my workshops and online programs. So we do, and this is OG Smart Cookie style, a weekly check-in. And doing it weekly is awesome because then it becomes less of this big deal. If you try to do it quarterly or yearly, that can become really overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So checking in every single week and just looking at, you know, and you can open your bank statement on your phone, and we do something that's called spending awareness, which is looking at your spending from a total non-judgmental, like take the shame. You're not there to like nitpick and feel guilty about where you spent your money. Cause like you said, we all go through, I go through still, you know, weeks or months where you spend a little bit more and you let go a little bit, which is completely fine. But coming back to that and looking at, okay, where's your money going? So we do this process and spending awareness where we look at all the expenses and say, okay, was this an essential expense? Awesome. If it was, could you hack it a little bit? Meaning not could you find something cheaper or the very best deal, but are you getting the most value out of that? So, for example, if you have a credit card with a credit card fee on it, and that's something that you know is coming, great. But are you getting the most value from your credit card points because of that? So maybe you need to call your credit card company and just really understand what those points are giving you. So for those essential expenses, just understanding, is there room to have a little bit of savings or more value there? That's one thing. Second thing is using the rather factor. So you go down your list of expenses. And so, for example, it's a vat of coconut oil. Awesome. Great. Like that is fully in line with your rather factor. You're good to go. You've maximized your ROI on that. Awesome. But if it's something where, you know, if I look at my expenses and I'm like, oh my God, I paid $20 for that parking spot. I could have parked early somewhere closer for that meeting and just walked or parked further away and walked and probably saved $5. So I just make a little note of that, right? Just like being aware and being conscious of that. And then for everything else that you did spend money on, just asking yourself, did this like the Marie Kondoing of your money? Like, did this really bring me joy? So if you went out and had lunch and spent the money, or you had a date night with your partner, awesome. But just, did you go somewhere that you really loved? Did you order what you really love? Did you get the most like experience out of that spending? And then just go through and just do that awareness process. What you're going to see is there's probably areas where you have a little bit of overspending or disaligned spending, and just seeing what that number adds up to is really eye-opening, because then the next month, say for example, you're like, oh gosh, I wish I had $200 more to put towards my Roth IRA. And you look at your spending and you think, okay, actually I have that money. I've just spent it somewhere else. So great. So have that for the next month automatically come off the top, and then see how that works with your spending in your month. So doing that on a monthly basis, and it's coming at it not from the numbers first, but also checking in with your goals, checking in with your why. Whenever you set a financial goal, really, really understanding why you're setting that goal. It's the same with setting a health goal, right? It's one thing to want to lose weight or eat healthier, but I mean, you know this from the amazing work you do. It's that you are so much more likely to make that real change if you're connected to a deeper meaning why, about why you are setting those financial goals for yourself and connecting that on a weekly basis, which is really cool. And the more that you do that, the more that you're going to notice your daily choices and your habits changing. And those little daily wins are what really add up over time.
I'm really connected to those whys. It's the actions. It's the little actions. And maybe it is that I need to get in contact with or like open up my financials a little bit more often to understand exactly what's happening. I think, maybe I just get into the habit and set smaller goals. You know, I'm a big fan of like small habits and small goals. Yeah. Is that something that you guys get into? And what are some of your tips for, I love the tip of like the parking, because that's so easy. What about things like, you know, I'm using Apple Pay right now all the time, and it's like worse than a credit card. You're just like click, click on the phone, scan it.
I know. So easy.
But like places where you aren't really thinking as much about the price of things, whether that's grocery shopping, Amazon, are there places where you see like, are there places that are the biggest issue for people financially right now? And what's your advice for them?
Yeah, I laugh because I'm like, well, Target, obviously, heading in those places. I mean, it's silly, but it's also really true, right? And so one of the things that has really helped me is just, I have, for years, we had in Smart Cookies, they were Rather Factor cards. So literally a piece of paper. And on the piece of paper, you write down your why and also the things, your financial goals, and a couple of things that are sort of your splurge purchases that you love making, and that's fine. And so you keep that on your little card so that when you are shopping on doing online shopping or you're going into Target, you just take like a quick minute. And as you're pulling out your credit card or your debit card or your phone, you look at your card and you're like, oh yeah, like I'm really excited about saving for my child's college education right now. Or, oh my gosh, we're super excited about saving for that down payment on our house. So do I need to wander aimlessly, you know, down the aisles of Target spending $300 when I'm really just in here for toothpaste? Like, those are just those little checks. And we all have those days, right, where we're exhausted and we're hungry and we're just not as focused. And so having that little check, and you can write it on your card, and also telling someone else about your goals. So, you know, it's one thing to, you know, listen to this podcast and be like, yes, 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 I'm so excited. I want to set financial goals and I'm in it. But you're so much more likely to make that goal happen if you share it out loud with somebody else. So whether it's a girlfriend or your partner or whoever, you know, send Kelly Ray a DM on Instagram and be like, hey, I'm super excited about a money goal, just to say it out loud, and have somebody else, you know, cheering you on is really important. So being conscious in those moments, and look, we're all going to have those days where you spend more than you intended to, and that's totally fine. But the key is to, you know, take one step back and two steps forward. So, okay, great. So you overspent a little bit. So let's look at, you know, what you can do over the next couple of days without completely depriving yourself. That's definitely not what we're all about in Smart Cookies, but, you know, just getting more conscious and getting more focused. And if you notice something like online shopping or Apple Pay, and you notice that really adding up to the point where it's becoming like an issue, then add some friction points between that is sort of how you switch the habit. So take Apple Pay off and make yourself, you know, people talk about like using cash, just using cash and not credit cards and your debit cards. And that's definitely not realistic long-term. But if you need to do that for a week, just to kind of get realigned with, okay, if I need to spend money, then I need to go take out money. Just like you said with your savings account, Kelly, it's that physical, emotional connection of like, oh my gosh, I have to now take money out of my savings account to have it, you know, to have that buffer. It's the same thing with your daily spending. If you actually have to go to an ATM and take out, or go to your bank and take out money and have it in your wallet, it's, sometimes we need those physical reminders to get ourselves back on track. And sometimes that's all it takes. And then you're good to go.
That's so true. I feel like one of the tips that one of my girlfriends, because I was known for shopping at Target and then freaking out and ditching a cart in an aisle. It's a really bad habit.
People are like, what are all these random carts in Target?
Yeah, it's a really, really bad habit. I'm so sorry, Target employees. I'm the worst ever. Sometimes if I was close, I would start to like put stuff back on the shelves, but I just would have this overwhelming sense of like, oh my God, what am I doing? And what I started doing, which is sort of crazy, is I use Amazon and Thrive Market. And like, if I'm going through Target, and you use the example of toothpaste, for example, I'm going through Target and I'm like, oh, what do they have here? And I'm like, oh, this toothpaste is cool. I will go into my Amazon and I'll compare the price, and then I'll go into Thrive Market and see what toothpaste options they have, because all of their white label stuff is way more affordable and super high quality. And I like to be like super simple. I like the hippie style products that are really minimal, and I feel so good. It's almost like a hit of dopamine where I'm like, oh, I just like $3. Like that. But I'm getting that emotional, like I'm getting that emotional dopamine hit of even just walking through Target and looking at things.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love that. I used to do that too I still do this actually, and look for something on eBay. So if it's like something that I see in the store and I'm for online and I'm excited about buying it, and I'm like, oh, I'll just see if I can find it on eBay, and often at a fraction of the cost. But yeah, it's that little win, right? And a really cool tool that I really like, have you ever heard of Acorns, Kelly?
No.
It's an app. Yeah, so it's an app that will round up your purchases and put that into an investing account for you. So for example, if you, you know, are at Target or you're in Thrive Market or wherever and you have a purchase and it's like $4.25, it automatically rounds it up to $5 and invests that spare change for you. So, and I think that you can do that in an investing account or in a savings account now. For sure the investment account, but possibly the savings account too. So we'll have to check that out. But that's a cool thing too, because it's just that little spare change that really adds up over time. So it's not like, oh my gosh, I have to go in and transfer thousands of dollars every month, but you'll see over the course of a year how much that spare change. So it's almost like tipping yourself so that you can have that grow for you.
Are there any other apps like that that you think help people understand what they're spending or how to save or like their financial health in general?
Yeah, for sure. So Acorns is great. That's one I just mentioned. Mint is so good. So that one is completely free. The way that they make money is they'll recommend different credit cards and different financial products to you. So, which isn't a bad thing, you know, if you're looking for a different credit card and having limits to your needs. That's one way to do it. But yeah, Mint is really great because you can set not only your spending plan, so what you expect to spend, it'll automatically sync up with all of your financial accounts. So if you have a mortgage, it'll sync up with that, your bank accounts, your credit card, all of the things, so that you get one picture and it'll alert you if you're going over. So if you, you know, set your going out for dinner budget at, you know, $500 every month, it'll say, you know, when you're nearing that, so that you can kind of just have that mental check. So that one is really great as well. There is another app that is called Tip Yourself, which is so funny. And it made me think of it when you were talking about when you get that like little dopamine rush when you have saved money on toothpaste, and then you can go into your Tip Yourself account and just kind of tip yourself when you do something. So whether you're, you know, making a smart choice with your food or your money and you're like, all right, great, I'm going to tip myself, you know, $5, and that goes into a savings account. So it's a sort of a financial reward system. A little bit silly, but sometimes we just need that cue and then to be like, okay, I'm going to give myself a little bit of a something and have that add up.
I love that so much. I feel like that's like such a good tip. I had used Mint in the past, and then I started using something called Clarity Money. Have you seen that one?
Yes, I like that too.
That one. But I'm sort of inspired to go back to Mint or maybe use both, just because I haven't used Clarity Money. I've only used it as an app, and just to kind of it kind of alerts me if there are things that are constantly, you know, recurring charges. It will pop up a notification if something goes up. Like, it's how I've realized like my cable bill has gone up for no reason. They've added something on, or like my, my phone bill all of a sudden surged. And I'm like, what? I've had this same exact phone plan for like 10 years. What are you talking about? Things of that nature. But I do like the idea of, I don't like the, you know, I know you don't like the word budget, but like really setting parameters for myself on spending in Mint, because I think that, you know, that is the most empowering, is just to kind of have a heads up instead of being weeks past the event or, you know, months past and being like, gosh, I wish I could have done things differently back then.
Exactly. And I think with the different tools and apps, it's great to try out a couple and see what really works for you on a daily basis. So I am a fan of just trying a couple different things and seeing what's really going to work for you. There's another one out there too that I know a few people in our community use, and it's called You Need a Budget. And it goes and it's a paid program. But that's another option too. So, I mean, there's lots of great things out there. I've actually noticed too, is, you know, my credit card now, and I've used American Express for my business account forever, and they do that same thing too, and somehow it pops up on my phone now. I'm not even sure why, but same thing that you just said. So it'll say, hey, this is actually okay. So the other couple months ago, I got an alert that said your cable bill, it was like $100 more than it normally is.
Yeah.
Anyways, my son had gone in and bought like 50 Wildcrafts episodes. Okay.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah, it's gonna be a lot harder. Gonna keep track of the little kiddos.
Oh, anyways, so that's a lesson for everybody. But yeah, that's just to keep an eye on and to actually ask if you do have a credit card or whoever you bank with, what tools and what just make sure you're getting the most value from those relationships too, because in having those conversations and having someone that you can go in and talk to at your bank is really invaluable. And also having that relationship with your credit card company. I've heard countless stories of women in our community who have just kept calling and kept calling their credit card company until they finally got the right person on the phone, especially if they're dealing with debt, to just really help them negotiate that interest rate down and to help them relieve some of the pressure in that situation. So it does really help to have those conversations and to not give up if you don't get the right person at the right time. And there's a great website to use. It's called gethuman.com. Mm-hmm. And so what it does is, for whatever, if you're calling your credit card company, if you're calling your phone company, you don't want to get stuck in the hour cycle of trying to get someone on the phone. So you put in the company into GetHuman and it will tell you the right phone number / like dial code to use, so that you can actually get a human on the phone who can help you with whatever company you're calling.
I feel like that's the most priceless information you've shared.
I know, right? I'm like, that website is so amazing. I'm always like, oh my gosh. No, but it works. It's so good.
Oh, I love that so much. It's interesting about the credit cards, because like I personally, for my business, I also use American Express. I've always used American Express. I have one Capital One card. I got one of my girlfriends who's an entrepreneur roped me into that, which I think was important because a lot of times, or sometimes, they will only accept Visa and American Express is not accepted. So it's important have that type of an option. But I use the Platinum card. I pay the yearly fee, but I do that because my global check-in, you know, my global entry and TSA pre-check is covered under that.
Yeah.
All of my Delta Lounge, you know, the time I spend at the airport being able to have Wi-Fi and water and coffee and not spending $13 on a big water bottle or, you know, $8 on a coffee at the airport just because you're at the airport is really important to me. And just my ability to get like triple times the points anytime I fly Delta is also really great. But how do we know if we're using the right credit card for us? Like, how would you, like, what advice do you have for someone who, because I know you don't want to go out and apply for a credit card a million times a year because it's obviously going to take a hit to your credit and your overall ability to get financing. But what should we be doing specifically in the credit card space to like pick the right credit card, make sure we have the highest limit, things of that nature?
Okay, so there's two awesome websites. So Nerd Wallet is one, and then Bankrate.com is another one.
Okay.
And they are dedicated to, they just compare credit cards. So you can go in and put in, you know, just your, not your super personal information, but just your profile, right? Like who you are, sort of how you spend, et cetera. And then it will help you filter through different credit cards that are right for you. And then once you fill through that, then you make the decision of like, okay, I'm going to reach out and apply for maybe a different credit card. But the cool thing is that if you find a card and you, because opening, you just want to be a little bit careful there. So what you can do is also call your current credit card company and say, hey, I found this other credit card and I'm thinking about opening it or switching to it for X, Y, and Z reasons. What can you do for me? And have that negotiation conversation with your current credit card company. But yeah, definitely checking out NerdWallet or Bankrate.com are two really great websites. You just want to be careful on their sites. So you'll see which cards on their sites are sponsored, which isn't a terrible thing, but obviously those ones go to the higher rankings. So, and they have to disclose that. So just looking for that little tag on there and understanding, just making sure that it's not the card they're pushing on you and making sure it's the best card for you. And if you are carrying a balance, typically, you know, paying an annual fee is not an ideal thing because you're paying more in interest than you're getting in value. So to calling your credit card company and seeing what you can do in terms of switching to another card in their portfolio that's not going to have that annual fee while you're paying it off can be really helpful.
Okay, so just to clarify, using my Platinum card, I could probably switch it to paying whenever I want, but I'm on a plan where it's like, I spend all the money, I pay all the money off at the end of the month.
Yeah.
So is that what you're saying? If you're using a card that has a yearly fee, you don't want to be carrying a balance.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to be paying it off every month. And American Express is good at that. A lot of their cards are actually charge cards. So you have to pay the balance off every month or the interest rate is crazy. Like they're not designed for you to carry a balance, which is amazing. So yeah, but if you have another card and you are paying the minimum payment is what I mean by carrying a balance, you're just paying the minimum payment and then you're getting charged, you know, X interest rate over that, then paying the annual fee on that is like what you're getting is not worth what you're paying. So just understanding what that is. If you are getting to the point where you're not able to pay that balance off, just calling your credit card company and having that conversation and seeing how they can work with you on that. But if you are paying the balance, yes, like get the value, get the points, make the money you're spending anyways, that's the smartest way to pay and to make sure that that money is working for you for sure.
Awesome. I love all these nuggets of information. I'm just excited for the women who are out there listening to this podcast and the men to really take charge of their financial life. I think it's so overwhelming at first, but once you get going, it's sort of addicting.
Yeah, it's addicting in the best way. And you'll notice people around you kind of being like, what are you doing? Like something's different. It's because you do. It helps with your confidence and it helps empower you in all different ways in your life too. So I'm really excited to hear, you know, listeners who are listening and where this journey and what this sparks in them and where it takes them for sure.
Awesome. Well, right before we end today's podcast, I'm curious if you have any suggestions for people who are looking for tips on how to save? Like I loved your parking tip. Are you sharing that information? Is that something that, there's like kind of like low hanging fruit? Like where do we find, how are we cleaning up our spending and getting rid of sort of that overspending, low hanging fruit sort of situation?
For sure. And you know what I'm going to do? Like I'll share a couple of resources with you. So there's two exercises and they're super simple PDFs, but they are crazy helpful. So the one is called $1,000 Jumpstart Guide. And I literally walk you through those, that low hanging fruit on how to give your savings account $1,000 boost in 30 days. And I just did that with women in a program that I'm doing right now in Smart Cookies. And some of them, this is what she saved, like found a way to save $3,000 in a year. So it walks you through every single one of those options. And then you can kind of track your savings and get really excited about that.
I love it.
So that's $1,000 Jumpstart Guide. So get that. And then also the spending awareness guide, which is huge. So that's where you go through and just the questions to ask as you go through your spending and kind of how to add up and recalibrate and be more aligned in that and how to make sure that that money is then funding your actual savings goals. So it's one thing to save, but it's like, what are you saving for? So make sure that that money that you're finding and saving is going towards a savings account. And I actually recommend having several different savings account and naming them to a goal. So if you're saving for a house, it's like your dream home account. If you're saving for a trip, it's your trip account or whatever it is, and have them have separate names so that you can get really excited and connect to them and get motivated to fund them in an even faster level.
I love that. I'm so motivated to get out there and open like three more savings accounts.
I know, right? And normally you can do that without fees. So just be wary if there's any fees, but normally you can. You can. Banks are happy to set up different savings accounts for you.
Okay, great. Awesome. So we'll get those PDFs. We'll put them in the show notes. We'll link to the Smart Cookies plan and program. We'll make sure that everyone has your information. But for people listening, where can they find you? Share like your social handles, your URL, all the things so that we can all we can all be smart cookies.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So smartcookies.com is the website. So you can find all the great stuff there. And then on Instagram, I'm sandra.graham and Graham has a fancy E at the end of it. So you can find me there and I'm really excited to connect and answer your questions and just hear about your goals and how I can help you and support you.
I love it. Thank you so much for spending your morning with me. Thank you so much for sharing this information. I literally cannot wait to take this episode live. I think especially it's a new decade. We're in the first quarter of the year. Like it's time to get this information out to people and like help them change their lives. And finances can be such a stress and I'm really looking for people to feel empowered. I love these tools. I want them to feel like, you know, finances are not a stress in their body. And you're helping us do that. And so I appreciate your time so much, Sandra. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Cool. Well, all right, you guys go check out the show notes. We'll have links to all of the tips and thanks for hanging out.
Thank you for listening to Be Well by Kelly.
Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Learn more at BeWellByKelly.com and follow me on Instagram at BeWellByKelly. I would love if you picked up my books, Body Love and Body Love Every Day. They're sold on Amazon and at all major booksellers.